T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
A.T.A. A.D.A. Let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know, I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
D.A., man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
The guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership.
What's up, D.A., brother? Mothership has connected.
And you the man, D.A.
Happy Friday, you North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. D.A. with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Sin City to Cincinnati, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A., everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Big show coming up for you this morning. We've got the great Pete Thamel, college football insider. He has covered just this week, Big 12 media days, ACC media days. We will talk college football just around the corner with Pete coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Smell that? It's college football. This morning, it's also a Target Demo Friday. So as always, we welcome hearing what you guys got going on over the course of your morning, where you're listening, how you're listening, and what your plans are for the weekend. We'll read those coming up toward the end of the show. Carmelo is now a free man, free at last, as he headed to Houston. James Harrison taking shots at his former coach. Are Eagles fans still drunk from February's Super Bowl?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Are the Raiders scrubbing their history? And are other college coaches clapping back on Larry Fedora's CTE comments? All coming up this morning on the show. As always, you want to jump into those topics? Let's open up the phones for you. At 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Connect with me on Twitter as well, as I always mention, DA on CBS. We begin, though, where we've begun so many different times before, with the NFL and the national anthem. Because we had thought that there was some type of resolution about what the NFL wanted its players to do. We had thought that there was now some type of agreement on what players would do during the national anthem. Remember, just recently, the NFL announced that we would have players standing for the national anthem or be subject to fines. This is when the brother of Woody Johnson with the Jets said he would pay all fines. The organization would pay fines if levied by the league. And you had a number of owners that seemed to be on the same page, but then some players who were not. We didn't quite know, but there seemed to be some type of general agreement. And then today we learn that the NFL says, you know what? Let's just put a freeze on that for now. Because we don't really know what we're going to do. There were news yesterday, news reports that the Miami Dolphins could suspend players up to 4 games. But then the report was, well, that's just so that there is a high spot, there is a maximum, and then they can roll that back. So what it obviously showed was an inconsistency, a total gray area, an unknown of what we're actually going to do as a league. I bring this up not to sway you on either side of the equation, either side of the argument. You know where I stand on this. I bring this up because isn't this just another example of how indecisive the NFL is? That they have made an announcement recently about what they're going to do during the anthem. And now, a couple of weeks later, it is, you know what? We're just going to put press pause on. We're going to put a freeze on this because we don't really know what to do. Every 4 years, there's Decision 2018 or Decision 2016 or Decision 2020. And in the NFL's case, it always seems like it's Indecision 2018. We don't know what we're going to do. Is the NFL always going to show poor leadership? It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
I'm going to take a fine this year. Why not? I'm going to protest during the flag. That's what I'm going to say now. I'm going to take my fine. So it is what it is. I ain't going to let them stop me doing what I want to do. And if they want to have these battles between players and organization, it's what it's going to be.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Titans Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jarrell Casey the other day saying, I'm going to take the fine, which is his right. But what's amazing about the NFL is that they can't build any type of consensus, and they do not have any type of moral center to say this is what's right and this is what we're going to do. Either side of it. If the NFL said, you know what? We want to allow our players the freedom to express themselves however they see fit. Fine. That's up to them. They're a company. They're a corporation. They're a business. If they want to say, we are mandating every player to stand for the national anthem, that is fine. That is their right. Their corporation, their business rules. The NBA does it. But the NFL is trying to thread a needle. And they're impossibly clumsy in doing this. Impossibly. Remember I did the story yesterday about how the New York Knicks basically succeed in spite of themselves? That they are the losingest franchise in the NBA over the last 17 years. And they're still the most valuable franchise in the league. The NFL feels like that all of the time. They consistently show poor leadership. They consistently show inconsistency. They consistently show indecision. They consistently show they're making it up as they go along. And yet they're still the most powerful sports entity in North America. We are addicted to the IV drip of football. We are addicted to the excitement of the Sundays, of the action, of the violence. We are addicted to it. And so we can't shake it. We're all caught in a really abusive relationship. But this is really amazing. I mean, every time I think that the NFL couldn't show worse leadership, they do. We just seemingly had an agreement on what to do during the national anthem. This just happened. And today they're going, so we're just going to press pause on this because we don't know. We're not going to fine anybody. We're not going to suspend anybody. There's no decision made yet. I thought you just made a decision. It's because the commissioner and the 32 owners do not know how to build a consensus because they do not know what to do, what's right. They only know what to do, what is best for their pockets. And if you just go by the consumer, it'll change every single day. You know, think about McDonald's menus over the years. Like McDonald's used to just be hamburgers and fries. And then they started doing like Arch Deluxe stuff. And then they started doing like weird salad stuff. Then they started doing like really bizarre non-meat stuff. And then they did the McRib. And, you know, and they just had all of these different things. And then they had the Angus burgers. And every time they tried to totally reinvent the menu, they had to realize, let's just go back to making hamburgers. Let's just go back to stripping it down, burgers and fries. And that just goes to show, if you just go with the times and just try to go with the flavor of the week and how fans are reacting or the consumers are reacting, you will just be all over the place. And that's what is happening with the NFL. It's kind of the most amazing clown show going. It is the most successful clown show there is. You know, circuses are on the decline. People are stopped going to circuses by and large. The NFL is our most successful circus. You can't kill it. It's only, people are only paying more money to go see it, but it's just sending the clowns constantly. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Tis a Target Demo Friday. And so on a Target Demo Friday, I love knowing what you guys are doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're listening. And so hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. And also we'll put the thread on Facebook so you can check us out there, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Again, that's facebook.com/TheDAShow. And when you go there, like the show page, we'll get your timeline popping.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
As I mentioned before, Pete Thamel's going to join us this hour in about 22 or 23 minutes past the hour, 22, 23 minutes from now, as he's been covering ACC and Big 12 media days. And it's been some good college football conversations, good college football storylines popping up over the course of this week. As coaches have taken the podium, some have said smart things, some have said dumb things. We'll discuss that coming up with Pete Thamel, College Football Insider, Yahoo Sports, a little bit later on in the hour. But first up, straight ahead, Carmelo is no longer a member of the Thunder. A three-way trade where Carmelo is a member of the Atlanta Hawks for about 5 minutes. You better get your Anthony number 7 Hawks jersey now, because it won't be long for in stores. He's going to be a free agent, bought out, can choose to go wherever he wants. And the question is, if he chooses the Houston Rockets, could that put Houston over the top? We'll analyze next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, there are so many different ways you can listen to the show. Take us with you wherever you go. Use the CBS Sports app. Use the TuneIn app. Use the Radio.com app or even Apple Music. All on your phone. Check it out. The DA Show. Easily transportable.
Electronically ignorant.
It's also a day where you can ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later on to the show and we'll answer your question. Ask the Pros is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So three-way deal goes down yesterday. Carmelo Anthony is no longer a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was a short-lived experiment that blew up in their face. Carmelo traded to the Atlanta Hawks, where he was bought out, sending Dennis Schroeder, the point guard, back to Oklahoma City. The 76ers involved as well, but ultimately it ends up with Carmelo being bought out and now able to sign where he wants as a free agent. And when I say where he wants, I mean where somebody will give him money. Let's start with the Thunder. You got to give Sam Presti credit because he found a way to get an asset out of Carmelo Anthony and a bloated $28 million contract. There was still $27.8 million left for Carmelo this year. Nobody wanted to pay Carmelo that much money. Certainly the Thunder didn't, especially after what happened last season. And so to get anything back in return, let alone a very solid backup point guard for Russell Westbrook, who can push the pace, who can keep the up-tempo energy going, who can come in and score with a second unit, that's a good add. I like that for the Thunder a lot. As for Carmelo Anthony, David Aldridge reporting Carmelo has been telling people for more than a week he'll ultimately wind up with the Rockets. Per league source. So sounds like Carmelo has his destination already set. So let's start there. With Carmelo, could the Rockets win an NBA championship? The answer is yes. The answer is if you added Carmelo to last year's team that had the best record in all of basketball, and Chris Paul remained healthy and remains healthy, Houston already took the Warriors to the limit last year, and had Chris Paul stayed healthy, I think the Rockets win that series. Now, part of me has always believed that the Warriors didn't necessarily take that series all that seriously until they were down 3-2. Until they lost that third game, I really don't know if they were completely woken up. I think that is a problem with Golden State. They know just how dominant they are. They know that there's nobody else that can catch them in the league as long as they play the type of ball that they can play. And so they don't play that ball until they're pushed to the limit and have to play that ball. But neither here nor there. The Houston Rockets adding Carmelo Anthony hypothetically makes them a little better than last year. Now, they lose Trevor Ariza in free agency. But as a shooter, as a stretch four, yeah, Carmelo adds scoring, the same type of scoring that Ariza had. As long as you retain Clint Capella, interior-wise, your defense should be as good or at least around that it was last year. And if Chris Paul at this point in time in his career can stay healthy for the entirety of the season and James Harden is the James Harden that he was as an MVP last year, yeah, the Rockets can challenge the Warriors in the West. I mean, if you are a Warriors hater or you just want to see the dynasty toppled or you just want to see some drama in the NBA, you are looking at Houston, you are looking at Boston, and you are crossing your fingers, please, guys, give us something in June. The only problem is, does Carmelo Anthony happily accept a role not being the guy standing on the sidelines when it has to be James Harden's shot or Chris Paul's team? I know Melo and Paul are close. They're two of the banana boat boys. So maybe Chris Paul has an ability to do something that other players cannot, and that is convince Carmelo, we want you, we love you, we need you, but. Because I think that's the biggest problem with Carmelo Anthony. In New York, there were so many issues, and so many issues that were not created by Carmelo, namely Phil Jackson, namely James Dolan, namely the brass and the power, the trust and the brain trust that runs one of the most dysfunctional franchises in professional sports. But Carmelo was always one that deferred responsibility. He was a guy that never could quite understand why everybody was criticizing him. He wasn't a guy that was able to navigate difficult times. He has something in his head about who he is supposed to be, why he is supposed to be treated the way that he's supposed to be treated. And you can't shake him off that spot. And last year, when he basically said, I refuse to come off the bench, that's not who I am, and laughed at that in training camp, and then laughed at that again in exit interviews after the season, after a debacle of a year, you kind of couldn't believe that Carmelo could really grow up and mature through or evolve through what he had in his head of who he was and why he should be that. So I don't know if he's going to be able to get there. Now, if he signs with the Rockets, it seems pretty obvious. You can't be anything better than the third option. And really, in this offense, you can only play a role. At this point in your career, you can't be a volume shooter. You just have to be a spot shooter. When Harden or Chris Paul break down the offense, you just have to sit on the outside and shoot. You have to become a glorified Kyle Korver. You don't play defense. You certainly don't pass. You don't facilitate an offense. All you can really do right now is shoot. If Carmelo has come to some type of evolutionary point where he understands that, his own limitations and his role in the offense, the Rockets can be really good. My question is, will he ever get there? Maybe he's had now a moment of clarity. Maybe he can. But that's the only hope, because if he cannot, it is going to be a nightmare. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Once again, everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Mike is in Texas listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, DA. Let's start with that beam up, buddy.
All right.
Hey, man. So I got to weigh in on this this Melo thing. One of the most disappointing players I've ever seen, just from the standpoint of everything you just hit on. Zero leadership. Zero. He's not even a bad guy. So this is a difficult situation. Like, he's a good guy, and he's not necessarily a locker room cancer. He's not necessarily going to badmouth his players and stuff like that. But the little things, like laughing at coming off the bench, you know, that's not me. Who, me? Like, bro, accept reality. You know, you are not LeBron. You are not any kind of a leader. You're not. You're just a guy that goes out there and gets buckets for himself. Again, you're not a bad dude. You're not a bad person, but you just literally don't bring anything to the table other than I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get my jump shot. I'm going to get my points. I'm going to make my money. Don't care about anything else. And that's just disappointing, VA, from someone who's watched this game his entire life. I can't imagine being that good and not wanting to win a championship, not wanting to lead your team to a victory. The dude has won nothing, zero conference titles, zero finals appearances. I don't know what to do. It's perplexing. I think Dwight Howard is the biggest waste of talent in the history of the league. I think Carmelo Anthony is one of the biggest disappointments in the history of the league. Appreciate it, DA.
All right, thanks, Mike. Which is interesting because Carmelo Anthony is going to be a Hall of Famer. Carmelo Anthony has won, how many, 3 gold medals with the Olympics? Carmelo Anthony, for all intents and purposes, has had a very decorated, successful career. And yet, I know what Mike is saying, it always feels like there's still something that was left on the table in his career. He won a national championship at Syracuse. He's won multiple gold medals. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And yet, there is something about it that you just go, there's still something that didn't quite complete your career. Well, but if the Rockets end up winning a championship this year, then that narrative goes away. I mean, he would only be a role player, but he would at least then have a ring and be part of a championship, and that might have to be how he changes that narrative. When we come back, it was college football media days from the coaches all this week, and Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports was in the middle of all of them. We'll get his thoughts coming up here next on some of the bigger stories from college football. DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Brad Heller has your headlines. Sit back and cool on out. It's a very happy Friday to you, everybody. A Target Demo Friday. Thanks so much for making us part of that. And remember, you can always download full episodes of the show by going to iTunes. Search DA and CBS Sports, and you'll find us there. Also available on the website, daoncbs.com. Anything you may have missed or just want to hear again, available on iTunes and the website daoncbs.com. We've had college football media days this week. The SEC, the ACC, the Big 12. We've had coaches across the land speaking at podiums, some smart, some not. Larry Fedora. And so, joining us to discuss the storylines of college football this week is senior writer and college football insider for Yahoo Sports, my good friend Pete Thamel. Pete, good morning.
DA, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing after a whirlwind of college football media days this week?
DA, it's talking season, your kind of season.
That's my kind of season. You began in the Big 12, and we have a story that starts to brew where the Big 12 doesn't have that showcase program. And you wrote about this. And last year with Oklahoma, they had Baker Mayfield. But this year, Is there one? Is this the least power of the five power conference teams in your mind going into power conferences, rather, going into this season?
I do. I think so, D.A. And the thing that stood out to me at the Big 12, look, Oklahoma's won the league 3 years in a row. They're an excellent program. They're very talented. I think Lincoln Riley has ratcheted up the recruiting there to a level that maybe it faded later in Bob Stoops' time. But I just think spending 2 days at Big 12, like, there was a remarkable lack of star power. You know, outside of Will Grier, who you know, could be a Heisman candidate for West Virginia, who the NFL likes, there's really like the next three best players in that league are probably tailbacks, or at least the three sexiest players are tailbacks. You got Montgomery at Iowa State, who I think is very good, Justice Hill, and then you obviously have Rodney Anderson at Oklahoma. And let's face it, the Big 12 ain't making a lot of hay with tailbacks. That's not the DNA of that league, as you know. So I really just feel like, you know, the Big 12 is, as all of college football, the quarterback is always the bellwether, and that would be my worry right now. Whether, you know, just there's so many new faces and so many battles going on at quarterback around that league, I'm just not sure that there's going to be an established team there that you can stand on a table and say, oh, they're going to make the playoffs.
I thought it was interesting that Mike Gundy started stumping for Group of Five programs when it's talking season. These coaches like to talk about their own program, how great their own program is, and how great their own conferences are. And so you rarely hear anybody speak out of conference. And here's Mike Gundy saying we should open up and expand the college football playoff. I felt like it sounded kind of self-serving, because if they expand to eight, that means the Big 12 automatically gets a bid if they've got a champion. Did you sense a self-serving nature to Mike Gundy stumping for smaller teams?
I think so. I mean, certainly that would serve everyone. It's you know, it's a little bit like basketball coaches wanting like 2,600 teams in the NCAA tournament so they can make it every year and they won't get fired, right?
Right.
It's let's expand it to 129 and then I can go, you know, 6-10 in my league and still not get fired. But I think that, look, you always got to follow the money in college sports, DA, right? It's not complicated. And eventually this thing's going to expand. Is it imminent to expand? No. Eventually it will. Gundy has always obviously liked to poke the bear. Shoot, he pokes the Big 12's bear all the time, saying, you know, we don't need Houston, you know, during realignment, all that kind of stuff. So I think, though, that is a reasonable – I think eight is reasonable for the college football playoff in the long term. You get your five Power Five conference champions, so the regular season still has juice. Conference title games are essentially quarters – or whatever they'd be beyond that. And then you throw one group of five in there to have some sort of Cinderella, Boise-ish, small school interest, and then you pick two at-larges. You know, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing that does not affect the sanctity of the regular season. Anything past eight, I think you start to. So I think, you know, Gundy's saying out loud what a lot of these guys are wishing.
Pete Thamel joins us, Yahoo Sports, to talk some college football. He broke the news that Clemson is going to sign Brent Venables, their coordinator, defensive coordinator, to the largest assistant coach contract in the history of college football coaches, which is notable. The prices of elite coordinators continues to go up. Are there any of those around college football that have a little weak stomach seeing those costs of assistants go up to $2 million a year while also holding tight to the line we cannot pay players?
Yeah, I mean that notion that there's not enough money for the players gets emptier and emptier from the suits who still spill it out. Look, like, there's two ways to look at this. One is like there's billions of dollars flowing in, and a guy like Brent Venables, who is a top five coordinator and has been for 15 years in college football, he's an awesome recruiter and really a dynamic force behind the scenes there at Clemson, is probably worth $2 million. And Clemson can certainly afford to pay him. And I give Clemson a lot of credit. You know, when you look back at the early years of Dabo, when they were struggling and people were like, who's this obscure wide receiver coach with a funny name you hired? They were very smart. They went out and invested. They hired Chad Morris and paid him a lot of money. And then they went out and got Brent Venables from Oklahoma and paid him a lot of money. And they said, you know what? We're gonna control some controllables here if we're gonna compete with the SEC, and we're gonna spend like they spend. So this is a manifestation of that. I mean, it's $11.6 million. Some of the money's deferred, which saves the university a little bit of money. But I do think it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a claim by Clemson here. Be like, all right, SEC, you know, Aranda makes 2.5, which is the highest annual at LSU. And I think that just the way that's going, it's not going to stop, because now there's going to be others. But you got to think, if you're a lower tier Power Five head coach, you're making not much more or maybe less than Brent Venables and Dave Aranda.
Yeah,
which is crazy. It's almost like the gap between have and have nots has grown pretty significantly between Power Five and non Power Five. I think there's also a really significant gap between the top and bottom of these big leagues.
Absolutely. I mean, Clemson and Texas A&M can pay their coordinators probably more than Wake Forest or BC can pay their head coaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are probably a little bit above that, but you're starting to talk about the coordinators at those types of schools are making a quarter of what the coordinators are making there, which is crazy.
So interesting. As Pete Thamel joins us here on the show, talking a little college football during talking season. And one guy that did talking and probably shouldn't have was Larry Fedora, dismissing the notion that there was a connection between football and CTE. Look, I realize that there are people out there politically that believe we become a soft society, the snowflake itis, and et cetera. And so there are people that probably say, yeah, tough football means a tough American. We need that. That's fine. But to me, it's problematic if a head coach entrusted with the health of young people is the one that's dismissing science and saying, nah, I don't even know if there's a connection. I know that his AD said, well, it just got lost in translation. But North Carolina's administration can't be happy that this was his talking point, right?
No, I mean, that storyline overtook ACC Media Day. I mean, it completely upended it. Like, just the snickers and the eye rolls from coaches, administrators, PR people around the whole thing, you know. And it was funny to hear how prepared the coaches were on the second day to discuss the question. The health and safety of our players is of the utmost importance.
Right.
It's like they were programmed robots. Now, look, I encourage your listeners, Eric Adelson at Yahoo wrote a really interesting article yesterday, basically saying the science behind some of what Fedora said is actually correct. He quoted some neurologists from MIT and from some big time places. So, but just what possessed Larry Fedora to wake up that day and have that sort of America's Gone Soft manifesto? And in any way, if you're downplaying the threat of concussions and the safety of players, I just think that is just a horrible look. Nothing Larry Fedora can do on the field this year will get him more attention than his day of infamy at ACC Media Day this week. It was just ham-handed and unfortunate. You know, it's actually funny. I was talking to one of Fedora's former assistant coaches for another story in the past 48 hours, and he said to me, he said he'd worked for a half dozen head coaches over the years, and he said none were actually better in about player safety and about resting guys and about doing all the right things than Fedora, which, you know, is it obvious? It's good that in practice he is in contrast with what he was saying. But I mean, the comments that really got me were like, "Our country is going to suffer if you can't run down on kickoff, and we're under attack. Football's under attack." I mean, it was just completely tone deaf, especially at a sort of wine and cheese school like Carolina that's buttoned up, and of course one of the leading concussion research centers in the world is, you know, hundreds of yards from Fedora's office.
If we take away kickoffs, Pete, America goes down the tubes with it. I've been telling you this for years.
Fox News thought that was over the top.
So, you know, what's interesting about Larry Fedora's comments is, doesn't this open him up to vulnerability in recruiting? I mean, other coaches, other schools can use this against them, right? Well, I don't know if at UNC you'll get the best treatment if you get hurt. I mean, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to haunt and follow Larry Fedora for a long time. Fair or not, that performance is going to do it. I mean, look, there's no earthly reason why we should be talking about Larry Fedora on July 20, whatever it is. He went 0-8 in the ACC last year. All he had to do was go rumble some depth chart cliches and go on and try to do better. You know, that's all he had to do. And I was sitting in the hallway on the phone, and someone walked up to Fedora and said, "Coach, you're blowing up Twitter." And he kind of looked at me and he was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Oh boy, he has no idea."
You had one job, Larry. Yeah. One job.
And to fire him, you know, say they go 0-8 in ACC again, I believe would cost more than $12 million. Now, after last season in the buyouts that were paid at Arkansas, Texas A&M, Arizona, Arizona State, and we can keep going. I'm never going to say, "Oh, well, that guy won't get fired; his buyout's too big." Because that notion has been swept away very quickly through the pockets of deep boosters. Now, Carolina isn't a place that you could argue cares enough about football to spend $12 million to oust a coach. So I do think that protects him somewhat. But the fact that I actually called someone to find out Larry Fedora's buyout on Wednesday is indicative of like how searing his comments were.
Pete Thamel joins us from Yahoo Sports. You wrote about where Florida State sits right now. And it's so interesting because Clemson is such a big dog, and yet here is Willie Taggart and Florida State really looking up from behind. How far has FSU fallen over the last, let's say, I don't know, 24 months? And where do they sit right now in the power structure?
Yeah. So they won the national title 5 years ago. So they have not precipitously fallen off the map. Last year was the first time they didn't win double-digit games. They were 7-6. I think it was in 8 or 9 years. But here's where things went sideways at Florida State, and one of the reasons Jimbo Fisher has said that they left. He's watched Florida State invest in all the wrong facilities, while Clemson's administrators, DA, have done everything right. They have the $55 million with a slide and the bowling alley and putt-putt thing. Like, Clemson has become the it school. Just like in the 90s, Florida State was like the it school. I bet junior high age DA watched Charlie Ward and loved every second of it.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah. They were the it school. And now that those same junior high kids watch Deshaun Watson and they see Dabo, who's just this culture warrior and is beloved and is like the perfect coach for this millennial generation. He's a connector. He is the opposite of the meathead Larry Fedora type. He is just the quintessential modern era coach. He's positive. He's behind guys. He's a relentless recruiter. So they kind of have the it coach right now in that part of the world, not named Nick Saban, and they have the it program. They have the dudes. They've recruited. Their defensive line should have 3 first round picks this year. And so what Florida State has to do to catch up is, I think Willie Taggart's a good hire. I think he'll do well there. But I do think administratively there's an onus there that they need to take a hard look at what Clemson done, swallow some pride, admit some mistakes, and start building to catch up.
Pete Thamel joining us this morning here on the show. Check out his piece on Willie Taggart and where FSU is right now. Can new blood revive an old college football powerhouse? That's available on Yahoo Sports right now. YahooSports.com. Follow P for the latest this offseason as we count down to college football's regular season at Pete Thamel on Twitter. Again, that's at Pete Thamel, national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports and a close friend of the show. Pete, have a great weekend. Enjoy some beach weather on the Cape, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, I'll have some calamari for you.
Ah, yes. You're a good man. Thank you, bud. Pete Thamel joining us this morning here on the DA Show. The Fedora thing is just amazing, and we'll talk about it more in depth a little bit later on in the show. But to Pete's point, I mean, there is one thing that you know as a college football coach, a football coach in general, but certainly a college football coach because you're at academic institutions of higher learning, is that do not poo-poo connection between CTE and football or collision sports. Certainly do not dismiss the science of it. Certainly do not act as though this is all just kind of a bunch of hysteria, because every day that type of take takes another hit in credibility. You know, your institution is probably studying the science behind concussion. It's probably studying the science behind CTE, especially a very high-level institution like UNC. So for Fedora to just throw that out the window is like, I mean, when I heard it, I couldn't even be mad. I'm just like, that is just so stupid. That is just the stupidest thing you could have done, bud. When we come back, is James Harrison right in his criticism of his former head coach? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.